Welcome to Health for Life, your trusted source for health and wellness insights. Proudly presented by Vitruvian Health, the comprehensive healthcare system serving Northwest Georgia and Southern Tennessee with leading entities like Hamilton Medical Center and Bradley Medical Center. We're dedicated to keeping our communities healthy and thriving.
Welcome to Health for Life. Today we're talking with Ashley Broderick, registered dietitian at Vitruvian Healthcare System.
Thank you so much for having me.
And today's topic is something many of us struggle with, myself included, and that is not knowing what to do for our health, but figuring out how to actually stick with it. There's a lot of people that rely on motivation to get healthy, but it doesn't always last. Why are habits more powerful?
Motivation comes and goes, right? But habits remove what we are deciding on the daily. So small, consistent actions can change our health outcomes, but also offer something more dramatic, long-term, and sustainable than our short-term efforts. Routine can help us to retain energy. When these behaviors start to become just a part of our rhythm in daily life, then people are going to experience less stress around whether it's food and or wellness. So sustainable health is really built through repetition and not perfection.
I know a big thing, like personally, when it has come to me trying to change my eating habits, I'll get like really into it for a while, and then I'll have like the one day where I'm like, I kind of want to go back on it. And then the second you do, it invites it back into your life.
That's right. Yeah.
What's like some other big mistakes people make when trying to just change their eating habits?
Trying to change everything at once, or an all or nothing mentality.
Yeah.
Setting unrealistic expectations. Maybe we might skip meals or eliminate meals. We might undernourish, meaning we don't recognize that's what we're doing. But if our goal is, say, weight loss, we might be underfeeding ourselves, which actually can actually have the opposite effect of trying to in the weight loss process. So expecting results instead of a slow process of improvement, recognizing that real success can really come from creating a manageable framework around changing.
I have heard of this term called habit stacking. Is that a pretty important thing?
Yeah, I kind of love this concept too, and I've actually been exploring this in my own world of what this looks like. So habit stacking is, the thought is you connect a new behavior to something that you're already doing daily. So drinking water while the coffee brews, or stretching after you brush your teeth. So I saw this in conjunction with a gratitude journal. So maybe doing five things you're grateful for while you're fixing your coffee in the morning, or something that you're already doing. Yeah. To get ready for your day, adding in something new, the existing habit becomes the reminder of what we're trying to incorporate, right? So it removes the need for willpower. It removes the need to find a space in your schedule. And those small additions can really build your confidence quickly to incorporate into daily.
That's good. I really like the drinking some water before your coffee's done. This is not like a proven fact, so don't take my advice as fact, but I've just heard that drinking, I don't know how much water, but just having water instead of coffee first thing in the morning will just improve your, probably just how you feel by far.
I agree. I think we know we get extremely dehydrated overnight.
Yeah.
So having that water first thing in the morning, even adding some lemon to your water, actually truly can help your digestion through the day. So again, that habit now is, if you're a coffee drinker, then coffee may not be the most hydrating thing. So adding that water, it's the best of both worlds. You're adding a habit,
yeah,
but you're also helping your body by hydrating before you drink your coffee. So
definitely. And I definitely don't think that, like, there's no excuse of like, oh, there's water and coffee. That's not water anymore.
Yeah.
It's something else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm trying to move after every meal. So if I eat, then after I eat, I go for like a 10-minute walk.
Oh,
so trying to incorporate physical activity in my day, because I struggle with that at work, but it also, it's adding a habit to something I already do or should be doing, right? Like, I should be having lunch. So when I have lunch, then I'm going to get up and walk. It's going to help my digestion. It's going to add physical activity, but it's also already kind of ingrained in me to add that in. So that would be like a habit stacking.
Well, that's really cool. And that kind of like just goes straight into this, like, other super easy habit stacks you could just top on to stuff to, yeah. to make it better for you.
Yeah. Adding a fruit and vegetable at lunch, kind of, you know, mentally thinking I need to have a fruit and or vegetable at my meal. So go ahead and adding that in. Prepping breakfast while cleaning up dinner, that or even packing your lunch as you clean up dinner, right? So if you're putting things in the dishwasher after you've cooked, then go ahead and pack your lunch for the next day. I call that prioritizing because I like that word. I think it puts some personal responsibility on it of, okay, I'm going to make it a priority to make my lunch so that I'll be set up for success tomorrow, right? Taking medications or vitamins with a consistent meal, or maybe putting them by your either nightstand right before you go to bed or where you brush your teeth so they're there in alignment with your sight of a habit that you're already doing. Pairing TV time with cutting up vegetables or just really getting anything prepared that will set you up for the next day.
Definitely. I used to do vitamins a lot, but then I just like, once I ran out, I just forgot to buy more and it slowly went out of my habits. But when I was doing it, I need to do it again because I felt nice. Just getting the, you know, a little multivitamin in me.
Yeah.
There's also a concept which I feel like might somehow go from this with intuitive eating. What does that look like?
Yeah, so intuitive eating is really kind of learning your hunger and fullness cues. To learn your hunger and fullness signals, you really do have to kind of quiet the noise in your head and the outside and become aware and in tune of the feelings that you have on the inside, the signals. Removing guilt whenever we're making different food choices. So not, there are no good foods, there are no bad foods. It's just a matter of these are the foods. And so how does this fit into my life or what I'm doing right now? Paying attention to our energy levels or our mood, either after meals, or just even around our meals. And then understanding that nutrition includes emotional well-being. So I think, you know, when we hear the word nutrition, we think a lot about food, but nutrition is a whole mindset, right? It is our mental, it's our emotional, it's our physical, and all those things. There are things that we nourish our body with that come into play. And I think with intuitive eating, that kind of falls along the lines of looking at the nutrition of the whole person versus just looking at it as a word for food.
Yeah, hearing about that definitely reminds me of kind of learning when to tell that I am really full and to like stop eating. Because I've always felt like it's a respectable thing to teach kids, but it's kind of a mistake to be like, you know, always finish your plate.
Yeah,
because then
sure.
I just had the habit of, you know, finishing my plate even when I really shouldn't. So it's helped a lot to just kind of know when to stop.
And you know, some things too, like when we talk about adding in non-starchy vegetables, so the kind of greens, and you think about eating a salad and how long it takes you to eat a salad, right? Versus drinking a Coke, right? So you may have equal calories. I'm not going to say nutrition values by any means, but you may have equal calories in it. But with the salad, you've got to physically eat and chew and go through the process. So that can help you with your timing and your intuition and being fully more present with your meals. So
this is almost like something my friend told me one time to where we were eating a meal together and I just like couldn't finish it, but I had gone through like 2 to 3 refills of my drink. And he was like, dude, you're just drinking too fast. And that's like making up for almost the food.
Yeah, totally could be. And then your stomach's full. So yeah.
I mean, are there ways for people to reconnect with those cues if they've just been ignoring them for years? Kind of like the salad method that you were talking about.
Yeah, I think starting to slow down during meals, trying to not be set up in a distracting environment. So putting our phones down, not being in front of screens. I'm notorious for trying to eat my lunch and continue to work. Like, just step away from work, right? Like, step away from looking at screens. So slowing down during your meals, checking in halfway through your meal of, am I still hungry? Like, how am I feeling? Do I notice anything different? Notice satisfaction and not just satiety or the full feeling. And really trying to practice curiosity rather than judgment. So I think when we're over hungry and then we maybe have a tendency to overeat and then we're frustrated ourselves that we're so full, what's it look like to say, wow, how did I get here? Like, I just raced through my food and maybe what could I have done differently? So that would be a way of being more curious versus being judgmental. And rhythm with your meals also, I think it's so important to eat consistently and in rhythm through the day, because if you kind of get through your day and you haven't eaten a meal, that's really setting yourself up to just be over ravenous by the time you get home and you're eating all the snacks and trying to kind of replace what you missed during the day.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where that's just really bad. Mm-hmm. And I know that meal prep is a thing that I've heard a lot about, and people do it and they love it, or they think it's just a really, really big time sink. Mm-hmm. Is there a way to balance that out to where you can meal prep properly?
Yeah. I think meal prep can be as simple as washing our produce ahead of time or cooking extra portions during the meals that you're cooking, so it could save time for other times. So, for example, like if you're cooking chicken tonight, maybe double your chicken. So you could cut it up and put it on a bowl or a salad or make chicken salad with it. Same thing with things like potatoes, or if you're cooking rice, you could double the portion of that so that you have it for other meals, but you've saved yourself time to have it there. So convenience foods absolutely can fit into those healthy plans too. So convenient foods could be even frozen vegetables, so we can portion control what we want, but it's also easier access than what we might have not had. So the goal is really just to reduce your decision fatigue during busy days. So again, back to the word, making it a priority. So what is the priority? If I want to eat healthier, then what is the one thing that I could start to do? And then recognizing and being realistic with what you're doing, I think it's absolutely important.
Mm-hmm. That pretty much just goes into a lot of the different strategies on how to just keep it going, especially in households that might have just a family that it's hard to get into a habit and not go back to, you know, getting takeout or something like that and bringing it home.
Yeah, good question on strategies. I think choosing two or three repeat meals that might be consistent through the week. So at our house, there were different seasons in life that we might have themes for each day. So like Monday would be Meatless Monday. So what that meant was either beans and rice and salad, or it might be breakfast at night. So Taco Tuesday, well, that was just a Mexican theme. So we might have actually tacos, or we might have fajitas, or we might have nachos or something like that. So something that I kind of had basically just an anchor in my brain to know what I was looking at, and so I could think through what we might eat, right? So nowadays, actually, we do Taco Tuesdays because there's a restaurant in town that we can get dollar tacos, and that's just a part of what we do during the week. It's our night out. We have a large family, so it's an inexpensive meal for us, and it's a good way to connect, and that is just a part of what we all expect. Groceries at this point all have different shortcuts available to us. Pre-cut vegetables, yes, they might be more expensive than chopping them yourselves. However, if it sets you up for success, then by all means, it's worth it, right? So it's a good starter point. Preparing protein in batches. So as mentioned before, that you might double cook different things as you're cooking. Keeping backup meals. I like to do this by shopping sales and then kind of stocking my freezer to make sure I just have components of a meal on hand. So I keep beef in the freezer. I keep sauce in the cabinet so that I could create a soup or a spaghetti dish or something really at any time if we had just run out of time in the day.
Is there like some actual science behind this stuff that just tells us why building consistency is good for us?
Yeah, there is. So we know repetition strengthens neural pathways. Visible reminders are going to increase our follow through. Tracking progress, even if it's mentally, can reinforce success. I like to physically write things down. I make a list the beginning of the week, and I will write down what our meals will be through the week. So not only the activities we have on tap, but the meals. Missing one day does not undo your progress. So I think really, again, showing grace in the process of change is super important.
Thank you very much for helping us rethink how we can make small changes that make a big difference in our health. To our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about nutrition services or wellness resources available through Hamilton Medical Center, visit VitruvianHealth.com.
This program in no way seeks to diagnose or treat illness or to replace professional medical care. Please see your healthcare provider if you have a health problem.
Thank you for listening to Health for Life, a presentation of Vitruvian Health, formerly Hamilton Healthcare System.